CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Fighter jets fly low over a crowd of tens of thousands of demonstrators in Cairo today. Protesters once again defied a state-imposed curfew as they call for the resignation of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Opposition leader Mohamed El-Baradei echoed that call and downplayed yesterday's appointment of a vice president.
I think this is a hopeless, desperate attempt by Mubarak to stay in power.
El-Baradei appeared on CNN's Fareed Zakaria GPS. On CNN's State of the Union, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton would not say if the U.S. was distancing itself from Mubarak.
We want to see this peaceful uprising on the part of the Egyptian people to demand their rights to be responded to in a very clear, unambiguous way by the government.
State-run television has reported several prison breaks in Egypt in the wake of the unrest. The Netherlands wants to discuss possible measures against Iran with the European Union. This following the reported execution of a Dutch-Iranian woman who was accused of drug smuggling. The Northeast just can't catch a break. John Hart of the Storm Prediction Center says another major winter storm is expected to hit by the middle of this week.
It does still look like a potential of a significant snow, Albany, Boston, and up towards Portland.
Before that, Hart expects the storm to dump up to a foot or more of snow in states like Missouri, Michigan, and Indiana. The huge merger between NBC Universal and Comcast is officially in the books.
The merger combines Comcast cable networks with NBC's properties, including the network. Add to that Universal's film studio and theme parks, plus the nation's largest cable TV provider, and you got one huge company.
That's CNN's Paul Chambers. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath Event, save on stylish bath updates, like a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity set, valued at $249, now just $99, a price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lights, and paint. We're lowering the cost of makeovers now at the Bath Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Your mother always told you to say no to peer pressure. So when you hear how 4 million drivers switched to GEICO last year, you aren't swayed. Then again, those 4 million drivers probably saved hundreds by switching to the nation's third largest car insurance company. Maybe your mother was wrong. Maybe you could have joined that hippie commune in Montana. Or maybe you could save money by switching to GEICO today.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Boom, 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 boom. Well, we're playing Sunshine of Your Love because it's such a beautiful day out, and it's been such an amazingly gorgeous week, hasn't it, everyone?
Yeah, it's
thank you,
great.
Pepco. God bless you, Pepco. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. We're on again live, and, you know, I'm having a good morning. I just had a Georgetown Bagelry bagel. Plug. But it was delicious. It was hot right out of the oven. Want to remind everybody, if you like what you're hearing today, you can see it on TBD Channel 8, Cable Channel 8, next Saturday at 11, Foodie and the Beast. And, you know, this is I'm going to get fat after this show, man, because everything this week is going to be sweet. We got Chef Robbie Meltzer of Zola Wine and Kitchen. He's in to talk about a Valentine's Day. How could it all... It's almost Valentine's Day.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Scary. But
get
gonna,
on it.
They're going to do a whoopie pie eating contest. Get it? Valentine's Day?
Another whoopie season.
another reason for making whoopee.
Did you just pick out all the songs for him to sing throughout the whole show?
Let's have another baby.
Let's not.
But not right now. Okay, so he's going to tell us all about that. And?
And so, all right, we have a terrific show today. Tiffany McIsaac is sitting in studio with us. Now, I am sure lots of you heard all about the Luther sandwich. We're going to get the 411 on that. It's being served at Church Key, and it's a secret. But if you know about it, you could want to order
it. Well, it's more of a heart attack than a sandwich, but it's such a great way to go.
Yeah.
That's how I want to go. I used to think I wanted to go in bed, but now I want to go eating the Luther in bed.
Okay. A little more information, I think, than
we all need. I wanted to let you know here in front of everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Turn Up the Heat is coming back to D.C. We have Chef Monica Thomas. Now, she's a personal chef, but she's in to talk about this fabulous event for the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. We're going to get the 411 on all of that.
And just like Captain Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. I almost ruined my own joke.
I don't even know where you're going.
Daniel Lobson knows a great port when he sees one.
Oh.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. Not because he's a sailor, but because as post-brasserie sommelier and beverage manager, his job is to know everything there is to know about fine potables. For people who don't know what that means, it means stuff you drink.
Okay,
and
thank
he's in today to talk ports and delicious desserts that go with ports and all that kind of stuff. Am I right, Daniel?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right, well, let's start with you. Post always has stuff. We're in there a lot. You know, you guys always have something interesting going on now. And now it's ports and cookies and Madeira and sherry, and you're sending them out with cookies. And my whole thing is, would a real man, a guy like me, you know, Stallone type, ever order that?
It
sounds kind of, you know, kind of like a girl thing.
Well, actually, the idea came to me because in the wintertime, this is kind of like when I get home after a night of work and, you know, want to chill out on the couch for a little bit. Like to have you know, glass of port or Madeira, and, you know, with a plate of cookies or some cheese.
Do you do that while wearing an ascot? Or?
Yeah, a little smoking jacket as well. Yeah.
Well, as long as you have the whole outfit to go with it.
I'm going to go put on my smoking.
No, but if you want to talk about actually like being a manly drink, this is what the colonists would be drinking, because these were the wines that could really survive the trip.
They were men, that's for sure.
So that's, you know, it was a favorite of Thomas Jefferson. So this wine has a long history, and it's been overlooked over time, but bring it back a little bit.
Why cookies?
I was going to say, actually, I mean, more people, I probably would guess, would order port. But Madeira, I mean, it sounds like something you put more in a sauce. So how do you sort of get customers who come in to try something new?
Easiest way to do it is just get it in their glass. I mean, you got to have it on your menu, first of all, mm-hmm. of course. But you really just have to talk
about
it.
That is a good first step.
Yes. But, you don't see it on a lot of menus these days.
Right.
And, you know, to bring it back, you just got to, that's step one. And then, you know, talk to people about it and get them to try it. You know, a lot of people are a little more familiar with ports, although I think, you know, we should see it on more tables. But Madeira is what I brought today. And I think because of the style I brought is one of the more approachable styles, very similar to like a tawny port, mm-hmm. which I'll talk about the differences.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. So tell, like, the Madeira, give us the name of the Madeira and tell us what we should look for when we order a Madeira.
This is a Blandy's 10-year Malmsey. Mm-hmm. Malmsey is the sweeter style of Madeira. It'll go really well with these desserts we have
Excellent.
Over here. So you can sort of do a little pairing if you'd
what
like.
Are you smiling
I'm just
at?
Dying to say something about Dadsy, but I didn't. I didn't. I'm just dying to.
Okay. But you did. Okay, go ahead.
But they're a category of fortified wines. So basically, mm-hmm. they've made wines in the more traditional sense, but they've added a neutral grape spirit to them and helps to stabilize them. It's basically, these were wines that were meant to be shipped all over the world.
Okay.
And, you know, by adding that grape spirit to them, they survived the process of shipping around the world in these non-refrigerated conditions.
Hmm.
He knows a lot.
I know. He's very smart.
That's good, man. All right.
Thank you.
While you're pouring that first thing, let's turn to Tiffany and talk to her.
All right. Well, Tiff, before we get into Luther, I want to say congratulations because you were featured in Bon Appetit this month. Andrew Knowlton wrote about the top 10.
It.
You should. So he was talking about desserts around the country, and he pinpointed you. A big honor.
Yeah.
How's it feel to be a 10?
Pretty good.
Well, you didn't need Andrew Knowlton to tell you that one. That goes without
Thanks.
Saying.
My husband tells me all the time.
Oh, he's a good guy.
What a suck up.
Okay.
I never do that, do I? The most beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Right.
All right. So,
I
want to talk about the Luther. You know, you invented it and Kyle invented it. You guys together.
Well, say Kyle Bailey is the chef at Birch and Barley and at Church Key. For those of you who wouldn't know that, I don't know why. But so the two of you are in cahoots. Tell us how the Luther came to be.
Well, you know, we do a huge brunch service, mm-hmm. and we had some really fun kids that were sitting at the bar, and they had ordered chicken and waffles, and they'd ordered donuts, and they said, oh, man, this would make an awesome sandwich. First, we were like, oh, that sounds disgusting. And then we were like, well, actually, it sounds really good. So we made one and sent it out to them. They loved it. They actually tweeted about it and got a ton of responses.
Where are they buried?
We're not, we only worry what happens when you're under our roof. Right. Once you leave, whatever happens to you happens to you.
Take us through every ingredient in this thing. I mean, everything.
Well, it starts with a brioche donut that we fry when the order comes in.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And of course we do. Mm-hmm. And it, we're crazy like that. And it gets glazed with a maple chicken jus.
Of course.
And then dusted in buttered pecans.
Mm-hmm.
And then between the layers is Kyle's fried chicken, which is it's a boneless chicken thigh that's been marinated in buttermilk and spices for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then it's deep fried.
The camera guys are spitting all over the camera.
Deep fried, and then it's topped with some slices of bacon, of course.
And, right. Of course, you brought and several
fries.
In. Right.
Oh, forget the fries.
Oh, my God.
You know, it doesn't travel very well, so sorry I didn't bring that.
And next guest.
I care about you too much. I don't want you to
Daniel, come on back in.
I just want to, can you get extra bacon on that?
You can have whatever you want on that.
That's right. It comes with your own cardiologist.
But no, wait a second. But you told us it's not on the menu. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are ordering it.
Well, we made it, and we got such a great response from it. The kitchen, the cooks all loved it.
Right.
So a few months later, we put it on the menu for football season,
mm-hmm.
But we don't print it. We just, you have to know about it now.
But it's named after Luther Vandross, right?
It is.
And
well, the
is
original
because...
sandwich is two donuts with a burger,
mm-hmm.
a burger patty and bacon.
And that is what he used to eat?
That's what he used to eat.
And he's no longer with us. I'd like to point that.
Doesn't really support our case for Christ.
That's right.
But...
So if you're feeling depressed and you want to leave this world... Eat the Luther.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Stop playing with your mic.
can't
hear it in my ear.
He's just so excited about the Luther.
I don't know what
getting
I'm holding.
Men get like that when we talk about this sandwich. It's not uncommon.
They all hold their mic? It's terrible.
All right. Well, so aside from the Luther, do you have other secrets on the menu? I mean, should people come in to Churchky and Bertrand Barley and be like, okay, what's the secret dish
they
today?
They should ask. We don't do it all the time, but sporadically. Like, I know the last few days, Kyle's been doing a little, you can get a fraud of like a homemade Frosty to go with your fries.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody sent me a picture of that.
Fries.
Wait,
yeah.
What's a Frosty?
Frosty's like what you get from Wendy's. It's like that like malted milk chocolate shake.
Oh.
So you can get a little shake with your
fries.
I'm
going to guess it's a little different than what you get at Wendy's.
It's a little different than what you get
just
at Wendy's.
Just a little.
It's made from we spin our ice cream and everything for it, so.
Okay, right. So let's move on to other things.
Okay.
So you've recently been named, originally you were just the pastry chef at Bertrand Barley and Churchky, but now you've been named the pastry chef for the whole Neighborhood Restaurant Group company.
The whole shebang.
And that's
congratulations.
Vermillion, the two Rusticos, mm-hmm. Evening Star. What am I leaving out?
Tallulah. Columbia Firehouse.
Right.
I'm leaving out a lot.
Buzz, and then the soon coming Buzz.
Right. The secondary Buzz.
Yes.
The other Buzz. So what's it like taking on a role like that? And how do you work with all these different chefs?
It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never done anything like this before. You know, my husband's been my chef for years. So just stepping outside of that box is different because, you know, he just lets me do whatever I want with my dessert. So now I've got a whole plethora of people with input and working with them and trying to have my desserts reflect their style
mm-hmm.
for each restaurant because all the chefs are so different.
Well, and all the restaurant concepts are very different. I mean, if you take what, like, Tony Chinnam is doing over at Vermillion and has more of an Italian, Mediterranean slant than, you know, what they're doing over at Tallulah or what Steve is doing at Rustico. So how do you work with everybody? And tell us a little bit about some of the desserts you're putting out there.
It just really starts with the dialogue between me and the chefs. Every time we have a menu change, I go and I talk to them about, you know, what kind of fruits do you want to use? Are there any specific, you know, do you want to see any roasted fruits on your menu? Do you want to see cakes? What they can
do you guys ever argue?
Produce.
Come on,
sometimes
tell us.
I have to be a little forceful with what I want, but not very often.
Is it like with Gordon Ramsay?
No.
You're
an
idiot.
No, nothing. No one in this whole group is anything like that.
I don't know. Tony Chinnam.
Tony Chinnam. Right. All of them, definitely not.
He looks like a serial killer to me. I don't know.
But now, so he's a serial killer. Don't say that. He's such a nice guy.
I know. It's like the
he's
opposite.
A good man.
Right. So now at Buzz, though, now you're not just doing desserts. I mean, now you're in a bakery setting. So this is completely
different
altogether.
Different.
Can you get your paper off the brownie, please? I'd like to see it. So you have sort of launched the year of the brownie, even though you still do cupcakes because you brought in some beautiful ones today.
Of course.
Are you sick of cupcakes and you want like something else out there? What were you thinking with the brownie?
Well, you know, our good friend Amber loves mm-hmm. the brownie.
Yes.
And so this is kind of my ode to Amber.
Okay.
Because she
this
has
is a
been,
tremendous ode. What are you doing for me?
I brought them for you to eat. Yeah, so, true. You know, that's not too shabby. But, you know, she just loves the brownie. And so we kind of started playing around with the idea of what we could do with them. Mm-hmm. And it just skyrocketed.
But you realize I mean, like, if
there's
this
so
becomes,
much you can do.
If this becomes really popular, the girls at Georgetown Cupcake are going to put out a hit on you.
Uh-oh.
Georgetown brownie?
But what's interesting about your brownies is you're not doing them in the traditional square cut style. What's with the round?
When we first started doing them, I was cutting them out to squares before I really put them on the menu. I was just kind of, you know, letting guests try them and playing around with them. Mm-hmm. And I found that they were getting really dry around the edge, and I couldn't put a lot of topping on them if we bagged them. So I wanted to find something that was individual. I mean, it's perfect, too. Like, at Buzz, when you come in, we can heat that up and put ice cream on it and make a sundae out of it. Like, there's a lot we can do with it. So,
how'd you come up with some of these flavors?
Me and the girls in the kitchen just are constantly putting everything we can think of on brownies.
Okay, because there's a lot. So tell us about the two we have here, and then when we have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can talk about some of the other ones.
Is that bacon?
That is bacon.
You know, I brought you the cupcake version of the Luther.
There you go.
Look at that.
But for the brownies, this is the German chocolate, so it's got candy pecans mixed into the brownie, and then on top is a German chocolate frosting, chocolate glaze, and toasted coconut.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, we've got red velvet cheesecake. So it's the red velvet cheesecake is baked into the middle.
Neat. I thought it was just like sprinkled with sugar. It's so pretty.
No. Red velvet cheesecake. Yeah, there's a lot of steps to making these brownies.
I bet. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the work that you have to go through to put these kind of dishes together.
And when we come back, these will be gone.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest. And over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-600-1195.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Well, now you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and Tiffany McIsaac, who is the pastry chef at for all of Neighborhood Restaurant Group, and she is the Sweet City Woman. And we're sitting here looking at and tasting all these brownies, but I want to change the subject a little because we got only a couple more minutes. You guys have a beer belly dinner promo coming up. I want to know what up with that because I think I could win that.
I think all the cooks in the kitchen could because they do love their beer. But
and I got the belly.
Well, yeah. it's a beer dinner. Mm-hmm. The food focus is all around, you know, the belly of all of pretty much every animal is the most delicious part.
Right.
So every course is a different kind of animal, but the cut is the belly.
When is this?
It's on Monday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
time flies.
And then they're doing a beer with each course. And then, so how are you doing a belly dessert? What are you doing?
I'm doing bacon.
You are?
I'm doing an apple piggy pie. So it's apple pie with bacon in it, pork lard in the crust.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go. Normally, when Nikki says, "Do you want to go to blah blah?" I go, "Oh God, please no!" But that's
why I don't take him anywhere. Tell me about this last little cake here, because it is so darling, and I want to know what it is.
This is, I wanted to do a carrot cake, but something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the white rabbit. It's actually made with parsnips instead of carrots.
Okay,
but it's got the same kind of flavor. It's a little bit sweeter. The parsnips have, you know, a little more flavor to them. I feel like carrot kind of gets lost in the mix.
Well, sometimes it can be overly sweet, so you miss it.
And I miss it. Is that coconut on the top?
It's toasted coconut and cream cheese frosting.
Oh.
And then
beautiful.
We make the garnish out of white chocolate.
It's so cute.
Thanks.
And you also brought a gluten-free brownie. Now, is gluten-free something you're trying to offer in the bakery?
We do. We always have 3 or 4 different gluten-free products, but one of our big projects this year is having a bunch of new gluten-free items. The other day, we tested gluten-free pie, gluten-free Pop-Tarts, you know. We have a lot of things we're working on right now, so in the next few months, you should be seeing a lot of new stuff.
Is that hard? Is that hard to do?
It's hard because I feel like when a lot of people get things that are gluten-free, there's a lot of sacrifice in the flavor and the texture. So we're really, really working to make sure
everything tastes the same.
Right.
You know? Yeah, like we just put a new blueberry gluten-free muffin on the menu, and actually a lot of our customers have been getting that.
Interesting. So what do you use?
Gluten-free.
What are you using?
A lot of different things. There's white rice flour, brown rice flour, sorghum.
Say that 5 times fast.
I can barely even say it 1 time slowly. We use tapioca starch, potato starch.
There's so you just have to figure out the right
A lot of different rations. Things go into it.
It's funny. You're making things that are gluten-free but not glutton-free.
No, nothing is gluten-free there.
All right. Well, Tiff, we've got to move on. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you will leave these.
I definitely will. I have more where they came from, right. So these are all for you.
All right, great.
And also, we should mention that if anybody wants to see you this week, not only can they hit the Beer Belly dinner on Monday, mm-hmm. but they can see you at Sugar and Champagne on Tuesday. And then later in the show, we'll be talking with the people from the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance about Turn Up the Heat on February 15th, and you'll be there for that, too.
Both are great events.
Excellent.
Busy girl.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Well, let's go back to Daniel Lobsens from Post Brasserie. Yes. And Daniel... We were talking about ports before, and I made you a bet that I bet I would win, and that is if you corralled, 20 people on the street and asked them, most would not really know how a port is made.
As far as being made, definitely. I think it's something that people are getting more and more familiar with the category. But as far as being made, again, it starts off with a still wine, a still red wine in most cases.
Is it a particular kind of wine or just...
Well, it's made in the Douro Valley of Portugal, and it uses a bunch of different grape varietals. The most prominent is Torrega Nacional. And
I knew that.
And basically what they do is they just make this still red wine, and they before it's finished fermenting, they actually add grape spirit to it, so there's still residual sugar, because the process of fermentation, basically yeast consumes sugar and turns it into alcohol. So while there's still some sugar left before the yeast is eaten at all, they add grape spirit to it. And what that does is basically kill off the yeast and brings it up to an alcohol level of about 20%, 18 to 20%.
See, it always amazes me how people figure this out in the first place. It's crazy.
People find lots of ways to get themselves drunk.
Really? Hey, I've been to college. All right, so we're going to turn the conversation from port and Madeira to what? Are we going bubbly or are we going...
Yeah, I'll get that poured in just a moment. I've got some champagne. Addition to us fortified wines, another huge passion of mine is sparkling wine, particularly champagne. Champagne definitely being the most famous of all sparkling wines, but it's sparkling wines made everywhere, and a lot of different methods are used to produce it. What's special about champagne is that they invented what's known as the traditional method,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you're actually doing the fermentation inside the bottle itself. So this wine actually was fermented in this bottle. So it's more a manipulated wine, just like fortified wines are.
Now, what's the name of the champagne you're pouring? Because you said it's like one of the oldest champagne houses, and I don't think a lot of people are familiar with it.
This is Renard Rosé, and it's got a very unique bottle. This is actually what the old champagne bottles originally looked like.
Okay.
It was started in 1729 by Nicolas Renard,
mm-hmm.
and it was named after Dom Renard, who, along with Dom Perignon, was really credited for innovating champagne quite a lot. And it's been the oldest operating champagne house, and was purchased in the Moët Hennessy portfolio.
Okay.
It was purchased by Moët Hennessy in the 20th century.
So it's not, it is a champagne you can find, I mean, clearly on the menu at Post, but at other places?
Yes. We pour the Blanc de Blanc by the glass, and this is the rosé that we have on the menu by the bottle. And I brought the rosé because it's a little appropriate for Valentine's Day, plus it's also a fantastic food wine.
Excellent. And how does it go with whoopie pies? Because I think that's what we're getting into next.
I think it would go quite well.
Okay, great.
Everything goes with champagne.
What doesn't go well with whoopie pies? That's what I say. All right. So, well, that's a wonderful segue to Robbie Meltzer. Robbie is a sous chef at Zola Wine and Kitchen, and he's in. We're talking whoopie pies in general. But before we do that, let's talk you. You went to Whitman, and then what? He's a local boy who made good.
Right.
That's true.
How did you become an expert in whoopie pies?
Took a lot of time, actually. A lot of practice. Local boy, you said, went to Towson University and made my way to the Culinary Institute of America up in Hyde Park, New York. Since then, I've just been, I did my externship at Zola, and that's how I got started there. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated, I came back, and after a couple months, they moved me over to Zola Wine and Kitchen, which was one of our newer locations at the time. And shortly thereafter, we started doing the Lunch with the Chef program. And when we did that, we unveiled the whoopie pies. It was one of our first desserts, and it quickly became our signature dessert.
Well, let's...
The red velvet specific?
The red velvet whoopie pies. Since then, we've done other spinoffs of them, but the red velvet's been the mainstay.
Okay.
Well, what? I want to know, I think for those listeners who may have been locked in a box for the last 30 years, what is a whoopie pie and where'd they come from?
Well, basically, our version of the whoopie pie, or what our whoopie pies are, they're essentially, some you can kind of think of it as a soft Oreo, if you will. It's a cake that we use on the top and the bottom with a little cocoa powder, a little flour, obviously, in there. And we bake these up. We mix them.
Okay, these look nothing like an Oreo. I mean, not like an Oreo. Oreos are hard, and they're little,
well,
and they're
cookies. Well, it's soft Oreo. But, again, it's got a little marshmallow cream cheese frosting in the center, which obviously is the big differentiation between the Oreo and our whoopie pie. But, I don't know, you have one bite. They're pretty addictive.
They're pretty good.
Oh, what an invitation. Well, I think I will take a bite, but tell me how now this plays into Valentine's Day. Is it about making whoopie? And
well, what we're going to be doing is on February 11th, just leading
again.
Up. Leading up into Valentine's Day, we're doing we're gonna be making whoopie at Zola Wine and Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So what that means is we usually do free wine tastings every Friday night. So from
don't
5 to 6,
we're gonna be
doing a wine tasting in the wine shop, mm-hmm. but it's gonna be paired around this whole Valentine's Day theme. So again, what we're gonna be doing is we're gonna also have a whoopie pie eating contest. It's gonna start around 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're gonna get about our first 10 people. Or
now, the whoopie pie is gonna be this big.
We're gonna shrink them down a little bit, but okay. I don't know. I mean, I wanted to do them big.
Why? I like.
Exactly. You know, it's an eating contest. Why scale it down? I agree. But like you said, we'll probably do it from at 6 o'clock. 10 people to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
You have 5 minutes to eat as many of those bad boys as you can.
How much fun!
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to give out some prizes too. For
you know,
the,
I could win this contest.
That's kind of why we brought him in, so you could taste
thank
them and really
step,
see what it's
step
all
on
about.
My foot and my mouth opens.
Well, you know, like you said, we're going to be doing. We'll give out prizes to the top three. We're going to give out a cooking class for two and a bottle of wine for the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Second place will get free lunch and also a bottle of wine. And third place will receive a bottle of wine. So we'll see how many people can take down in 5 minutes.
Right. That sounds like a very fun, different promotion. And it's a good lead up to Valentine's Day because it's something fun and different and it's not so serious.
Right. We're also going to do a couple other events while this whole making whoopie is going down. We're actually going to give people an opportunity to make whoopie for their sweethearts and actually take some of these whoopie pies home.
Andy's laughing. I mean, if you're making Andy laugh, get off me. If you're making Andy laugh,
well,
you know, it's funny.
Well, he said making whoopie for your sweetheart.
I know.
You know, it's like you said, it's just a little something so you guys can take home and you know, be a part of the action and really see what it's all about.
So, I mean, is it that hard to put a whoopie pie together? Or is it just like getting hands-on just for some fun?
Well, personally, baking's really not my strong suit, so it was interesting for me to learn and execute this whole process.
Yeah, but you know what? If this was not so moist and, you know, like...
Good.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Like, what's that word I'm looking for? Good. I mean, if it was crusty and hard and all that, it wouldn't be the same thing. So I think it might be hard to come up with the right pie for your whoopie. And then all this cream cheese is knockout.
Yeah, that's part of the beauty of it, is that once you take that first bite,
now,
it just
do you want the cream
out.
Cheese to kind of soak in a little bit to keep the cakes moist on the inside? Is there a...
A little bit.
Difference of opinion on that one?
I mean, a little bit. Again, you know, some I kind of like them when they're, honestly, I like them when they're a little bit crusty, too, because you get that nice little crispy texture on the outside, but it's
that's
still
that Oreo thing
moist
from your
and
youth.
Deck. Yeah, you know, like I said, that's just from where my heart is.
You've been co-opted by Nestle. You know,
okay, so tell us about some of these other things. So you're doing a wine and chocolate tasting on that same night.
Mm-hmm.
So do people think about doing that, like serving wine with chocolate? Is that a big deal?
You know, like I said, it's kind of a different opportunity and a different experience for tasting. You know, when you really start incorporating wine and you start incorporating all these other elements into the food, it really brings out all these other flavors and helps.
But both have now been given a real boost as far as, you know, actually having something beneficial to contribute to your health. Wine is good for, you know, keeping your heart ticking, and chocolate, yeah, chocolate's good for
you
blood.
You say so. Okay.
It's good for blood. That's why I eat so much of it. No, but they have. There have been. I actually read articles.
Oh, wow.
Never mind. Anyway,
very cool.
So I'm with you, Robbie. Don't listen to her.
Okay. All right, so Robbie, I was in Zola Wine and Kitchen last week for lunch, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because I know you guys do this lunch with the chef kind of promotion. I didn't really understand just from reading Lunch with the Chef what it actually was. But you guys do a killer lunch there, and there's so many different options. Can you talk about sort of how it evolved and what lunch at Zola Wine and Kitchen is like?
Yeah, certainly. When we first opened up Zola Wine and Kitchen, it was primarily intended to be a test kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we had this great space, and we really didn't have anything going on in there.
We had a party there.
We started to do lunch with the chef. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And it's an open kitchen. It's a great experience and opportunity for guests really to come in and be a part of the experience from start to finish. I mean, me personally, I love it because I do get to interact with everybody who comes in on a day-to-day basis. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of the experience in building up the community that people just kind of love to be a part of.
That's funny because you do seem so shy,
yeah.
Laid back.
It's hard to shake sometimes.
But what I think is interesting is that you can go in. I mean, it is a beautiful location, but mm-hmm. you can just sort of sit down. There's no, you're not seated.
No, very casual. You know, we want people to feel, like I said, welcome when they come in. And we're not going to boot you out of the restaurant for sitting there and hanging out. But mm-hmm. Like I said, it's very relaxed, very low-key, fast casual, 11:30 to 2:30. Come on in and... You know, it's a great experience.
Well, and of course, you have the wine store next door.
Absolutely. Can't forget about it.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other promotions you guys have upcoming and a little bit about the wine store. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're eating whoopie pies.
Yeah.
And later on in the show, we're going to be talking about turning up the heat with women chefs. We'll be back in just a bit.
That he's so willing to make whoopie.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you. And the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
Another season, another reason.
old blue eyes.
Whoopi.
I wonder if he ate Whoopi pies. Who knows? We'll never know. You're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got sous chef Robbie Meltzer in here from Zola Wine and Kitchen. We have been talking Whoopi pies because they're going to have a Whoopi pie eating contest for Valentine's Day on the 11th, right?
Yep. Correct.
With everything starting around 6, but you've got a bunch of other promotions going on at the restaurant.
Well, I want to talk about the cooking classes that you guys do. So I know you work with Brian.
Yep, Brian Moscatello is our executive chef.
Right. So does he come and do the cooking classes with you, or is it just you?
Depending, sometimes. For the most part, it's just me teaching. We do cooking classes every Tuesday and Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 in my kitchen. And we actually have a couple classes coming up this week. We're doing a chili cook-off on Tuesday night, and we're also going to be doing a bistro basics on Wednesday night. So it's a little intro to some French cuisine.
So the chili cook-off, I assume, is getting ready for Super Bowl. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, it's that time of year again, and you know, what's better than a little chili and football? Nothing.
Right. So do you do several kinds of chilies, like when you're teaching it? Or?
We will. We'll have all sorts of different kinds of meats, ground beef, turkey, you know, you name it, it'll be there, all sorts of just different seasonings and different styles. There's so many different styles of chili to put together.
Right.
And, you know, it's a class I'm looking forward to.
Do you ever give up your recipes?
Sometimes. It's hard. You know, I got a couple I keep in my back pocket. But it's all about teaching the techniques, and it's a great experience for people just to get in the kitchen and really become comfortable, really.
And how often are the cooking classes?
Every Tuesday and Wednesday.
Every Tuesday and Wednesday. And so do people request different kinds of things that they want to, like, do you have regulars who are like, hey, I'd really love to do this? How does that come about?
Yeah, sometimes. And we certainly have a lot of regulars, and we're always open to feedback. But a lot of times we just try to work with what's seasonal, what's available.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that'll kind of be, it's almost Iron Chef style where it's, you know, carrots are the dish of the day. And then
right.
from there we'll do four or five different dishes to put together, highlighting whatever the main focus of the
class. How many people in each class?
We do up to about 16 people.
Mm-hmm.
It gets nice and tight in the kitchen, but it's great.
You get a
well,
mix
it's a
of
big
beginners.
Open space.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
wide open. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty kitchen.
But do you have like your regular, like your groupies?
I don't know about groupies, but we do have, we did start a little Team Robbie, I don't know if you
I
want to call
that.
It a fan club, if you will. But this is actually the second installment to the Team Robbie t-shirts. These we're going to actually be giving away when you walk in on the 11th for our tasting here. So on the front it says Team Robbie, and on the back we have...
Making Whoopi,
11:30 to 2:30, Monday
Very
through Friday.
Cute.
So come check it out.
Excellent. Robbie, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing in all this great dessert.
Thanks for having me.
Delicious.
All right, let's take it back over to Daniel Lobsens.
Okay.
Daniel,
I'm going to go get Monica.
I should tell everybody who and what you are if they just tuned in. He's the sommelier and beverage manager at Post Brasserie, and we've been talking Madeira and all of them ports, and now we're talking bubbly and champagne. This champagne, it's an unusual color.
Yes, this is a rosé champagne. Rosés are made in champagne through a method of actually, typically what they do is they'll blend a white and a red wine. And then put it into the bottle and get the secondary fermentation to happen. That's what gives it its bubbly characteristics.
It's yummy. So we were talking before. Obviously, if it's not from France, it can't be called legitimately called a champagne.
But actually, it's from the Champagne region.
Right,
France,
right,
too.
Right. So for boobs like yours truly, when they want to do something special and they go into a liquor store, and
I'm
they
calling
feel
them
like
that when we get home. Just so you know,
they feel. Hello, boob. But they, you know, they feel like they've got to buy a bottle of champagne and not, and they look at sparkling wine, you know, that it's all in the same class as cold duck. But that's not really true. There are sparkling wines. Like we discovered Cava a couple of years ago.
And Prosecco. I mean, every region has a good bubble.
Yeah, there's great sparkling made all over the world. You know, the U.S. has definitely got its great producers, and it's, you know, made in South America now. It's made in Tasmania, does good sparkling wine.
Tasmania,
yeah.
Really?
It's made by devils.
but it's generally what's required to make good sparkling wine is a somewhat cooler climate.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to find these little microclimates that are a little bit cooler because you need really good high acid wines as the base wines for it.
All right, so... Your favorite sparkling wine, if somebody's not going to buy a champagne, is what?
Probably sparkling Vouvray, which is also French, and it's from the Loire Valley in France.
Okay.
Really, really elegant wines.
Andy's nodding. Andy, who runs the board here at
WFED. He agrees, which means it must be really good.
Either that, he knows something. You are so wise, Andrew.
So now what are you pouring for us next?
So as far as the champagne goes, do we want to talk about this one or do you want to go to the next one?
Let's move into the next one.
Okay, the next one. We only have
an hour.
We're equal opportunity drinkers here.
The next wine is going to be André Brunel's Châteauneuf du Pape. Châteauneuf du Pape is located in the Rhone Valley of France, a really beautiful area. Châteauneuf is especially exceptional because they have these the vines grow in these like this really strange type of soil. It's actually basically like little boulders. So it's it gets really well-drained soils, and you get some really excellent ripeness out of these wines. It's a warmer climate. Made from primarily Grenache, although there's 13 different grape varietals that are permitted in Châteauneuf-du-Pape.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Brunel is well known for his, he's got a special vineyard called Les Cailloux, and it actually has 130-year-old Grenache vines. If you look at these things, they're head pruned, and they just look these like gnarly bushes. But they're really, it makes phenomenal wines of, you know, really nice elegance, but also, you know, nice bold characteristics. Really perfect for this time of year.
Now, do you have a bunch of Châteauneuf-du-Papes on your menu?
Oh, we have a few. I've got Andrew Brunel's straight Châteauneuf-du-Pape, which I brought right here. I also have his Les Cailloux. It's a special edition of the Cuvée Centenaire that he only does in certain years.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a couple others from the Perrin family.
Because it's a very well-known wine. I mean, for people who are either just getting into wines or developing their education, I mean, it sort of comes up first, you know, I think because it has a wide variety of price ranges and people feel like, and it's good. I mean, and it sort of educates you as you drink the more expensive ones.
Did you just get into this because you get to take awesome trips to France and chicks dig it? Is that, I mean, is there an ulterior motive or do you really enjoy this, Daniel?
No, I do. I just want to know. I fell in love with it just around the dinner table. Growing up, you know, I was permitted to have a glass of wine with dinner and really learned to appreciate it.
It's the only way to get you to go to sleep. That's why God invented Benadryl. Same thing. It's same stuff.
This works better.
This one is much better.
All right, well, go ahead and pour if you would, please, and let's get Monica Thomas into the conversation.
Absolutely. Monica, thank you so much for joining us. So now you're a personal chef.
Yes,
I am. For your own company.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I think a lot of people like think of Art Smith, you know, Oprah Winfrey's old personal chef. What does the life of a personal chef mean?
Cooking truckloads of food every day.
David, you're rude. Tell us a little bit about what that's like.
That's a private chef, and mm-hmm. I think that's part of the difference is mm-hmm. that a personal chef will work for multiple families, generally one per day,
mm-hmm.
Whereas a private chef is dedicated to one family,
cooks
for them consistently every day, maybe all their meals.
Mm-hmm.
I generally provide dinner, and I'll go in and I'll cook a week's worth of food at one time.
Do you go into somebody's house and cook in their house?
I cook in their home. So I'm cooking on a different stove, a different oven, and in a different kitchen every single day.
Wow. Thank you very much.
So you're not on call 24/7. They don't, you know, it's not like when Bill Clinton would call down to the White House kitchen and say, give me some bananas and bacon or whatever. And
no, I've had a few food emergencies, but usually with at least 24 hours notice.
So how do you work it out with your clients? Do you give them a menu and they select what they want? How do you go about working with them? Because I think for a lot of people, the idea of working with a personal chef sounds enticing, especially for very busy people who may not have time to, you know, put together dinners every night for their families or even for just a couple. So how do you work with the people, clients?
I start with a food questionnaire that I've developed and modified over the years. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for almost 7 years.
Okay.
And I'll sit down with the client and go over the likes and dislikes, the allergies. I work for a lot of people who have allergies, and I mm-hmm. cook around their allergies. And then from that, I'll develop the menu. And I'll send them the menu about a week out, and they approve it. They obviously have final approval mm-hmm. on everything. And then that day that we agree upon for cooking, I go to the grocery store, I shop for everything, carry it to their house, and then cook everything,
and
package it, cool it, package
it. Wait a minute.
Pretty cool.
Who does the dishes?
Well, I do the dishes.
Oh. Really?
Not when they eat.
I love her.
Just when I cook.
All right. Well, obviously, when you start cooking, you have to turn up the heat. The perfect segue to
very good.
Bada bing,
very
bada
good.
Boom.
Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank you, my people. All right. So, you know, we talk about turn up the heat every year for lots of reasons. You're raising money and awareness to fight ovarian cancer, and you also help put the spotlight on the great women chefs and restaurateurs in the Washington area.
I mean, it's the only event.
Of which there are many and many more coming.
But what's interesting about this event, having gone every year since its inception, is that all the women chefs come out for it, and the people who attend this event are just so... There's never a dry eye in the place.
No.
I mean, it's a really emotional event.
It is. And I think that's what sets this event apart from all the other food events in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in some way in that room has been touched by ovarian cancer. There are a lot of survivors who come. I have a couple that volunteer to help with the logistics every year of getting the chef's food from the dock to the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a survivor
and a fairly long-term survivor. Mm-hmm. And then there are, of course, the other stories in the room where some people weren't as lucky, but these are people who are there to support the cause. And OCNA, Ovarian Cancer National Alliance, is all about advocating on the national level for the cause to find, hopefully, to do more research, to the symptoms of the disease are very vague and mimic other diseases. Mm-hmm. There at this point, there is not a screening test. And so that's truly the big push.
Mm. Cure rates are up. I mean,
cure rates are up if it's caught early. That's right.
You know what? We have a friend, Julia, who had stage 4 cancer, and she's alive and kicking five years later. And, you know, I mean, that's the good thing.
That's right.
That's the real good thing. All right.
But well, so how did you get involved with the event?
I'm a member of Women Chefs and Restaurateurs, and it is a great group. And most of the chefs, not all, but most of the chefs who cook for this event are WCR members.
Okay.
And so through that connection,
I started volunteering. WCR and Les Dames.
Correct.
You got the whole DC women chefs covered, right?
I think we do. And we have 35 chefs this year. Mm-hmm. They do appetizers out in the lobby starting at 6:30, and then they move into the dining room at 7. Mm-hmm. And,
well, let's do, I want to make sure everybody knows date, time, place, all of that before we lose that.
Okay. So. It is Tuesday night, February 15th, 6:30 p.m., and you can get ticket information at ovariancancer.org.
And it's in the Ritz-Carlton?
It's in the Ritz-Carlton, D.C. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And who are some of the, we just have about 90 seconds before we go to commercial, who are some of the other women? I know Michelle Armstrong, Riz Lacoste always is there.
Always there.
Tiffany's going to be there, correct?
Tiffany's going to be there, yeah.
Tracy O'Grady and Kate Jansen from Willow.
Ruth Gresser.
Right, from Pizzeria Paradiso.
Did we say Riz? Riz Lacoste will be there.
And Riz was one of the persons who started pulling all the women together for this event, the first go round. So she is really, she was critical in getting this kicked
Absolutely.
Off.
So let's go to a break.
All right, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about more about the feeling of the event, the kind of food that will be served there. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about this red wine. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Restaurant Week is right around the corner, and Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown is one of the hottest reservations in town for this annual wintertime celebration of food and restaurants. From January 17th through the end of the month, enjoy a great lunch or dinner at a great price at just $20.11 for a three-course lunch and $35.11 for a three-course dinner Monday through Saturday during Restaurant Week. You get a pizza at every table to start, plus other delicious choices for a wonderful dining experience. Make your reservations today online at farmersandfishers.com.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostick, president of Right Size Smoothies. And when I heard that, I was shocked because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
The heat is on. We're back on. On the street. Great selection of songs, Andy. You're unbelievable. Back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
You can do Eli's Bar Mitzvah.
That's right. Shalom, Yeladim. All right, so before we get back to Monica, I just want to thank our sponsors because there are a lot of folks that help make this show happen. Obviously, I mentioned the people at Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group. It's Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery,
Church Key,
Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley,
Planet Wine. They have a lot. There's a lot of places.
Who's supposed to do this?
I'm just helping.
Back off, baby.
Okay.
All right. Also, our friends at Founding Farmers down on Pennsylvania Avenue and Farmers and Fishers at the Georgetown Harbor. And new friends, Potomac Hospitality. They own Notte Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro. So thanks for supporting the show.
Mm-hmm.
Monica.
Yes.
You brought in something beautiful that is not going to be served at the event, but since you are a
personal chef.
You brought it in, and it's beautiful. It's salmon and, are those artichokes?
No, it's leeks.
Leeks.
Yum. Sautéed leeks. It's a salmon roulade filled with sautéed leeks, and it's served atop a tomato cucumber coulis.
So what they've done is, even though you're a member of Women Chefs and all that, they've co-opted your talents to organize the thing, and you don't have any time to cook.
That's right. I'm working the logistical end of the event.
How hard is that to do, to corral everybody? I mean, that's got to be a lot of work.
It's great fun. It really is fun. This will be my fifth year on the dock, mm-hmm. helping the chefs load in. They basically pull up. They hand off all their food and props and everything that needs to go to the ballroom. I have a team of runners that takes it to the ballroom. The chef goes and parks their vehicle, and by mm-hmm. the time they get in, everything's at their table.
What's the range of foods?
Oh, my goodness. Appetizers, main courses, desserts. We have...
And it's not typical like a lot of food events where it's just a little taste.
No.
I mean, especially the entrees,
the
portions.
Mains.
I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
pretty big portions. Mm. I mean, people sit down and eat. You're invited every year. You never go.
No, I'm going.
Yeah, I think you should go.
It's an
fabulous
event.
It's a fabulous event. There's a great spirit and camaraderie amongst all the chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And the sponsors, you just talked about your sponsors, Roland Foods sponsors. They are providing olive oil for every table and a couple of giveaways. And I believe Georgetown Cupcake this year is putting cupcakes on the tables.
Fun. I know Jody Lear from Santa Lucia State Coffees is always there mm-hmm. with the coffee. And who's doing the wine this year?
It's Five Rivers Winery again.
Okay, great.
Doing the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. I'm watching him crawl.
Sorry.
One of our camera guys is crawling along the floor. That's the biggest rat I've ever seen. Big rat.
Next time, just walk in. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today and bringing in this gorgeous dish. And clearly what you do is very, very important for this event.
And I think it's important to make sure everybody knows again what the event details are, because you can get tickets online.
Well,
right?
I like that you're wearing a teal coat.
I am.
Which is the color of the ribbon, right?
It is the color. The ribbon actually blends right in. You can barely see it on
right.
my chef's jacket. And I guess it was meant to be, because I've worn this color for 6 years. And the first time I appeared on the dock, everyone thought I had gotten the jacket just so that people would know where to
right.
go. Teal is the color of the ovarian cancer ribbon. And so, yes, I think it was meant to be.
It is.
All right, it's February 15th.
February 15th.
At the Ritz-Carlton.
6:30 p.m. And you can get go online for all the details at ovariancancer.org.
And how much are tickets?
I believe they are $250 a person.
Okay,
and it is a hefty price for mm-hmm. an event of this nature. But I will say, having been to this event every year, it's really worth the cost. It's a... Women tell their stories, and the chefs get involved. It's just a beautiful event.
Well, not only that, and obviously you have to check with your accountant, but it's tax deductible because
yes.
it's going to it's going to cancer research.
I hit the emotion, he hits the money.
There
Can you
go.
Tell that? There we go.
Show me the money. All right, thanks,
Monica.
Thank you
so much. All right,
Let's
so Daniel, I understand you have a terrific staffing program, like with your staff, when you educate them on all your wines. Did you start that? Was that already in place when you got there?
Yeah, when I first got there, I mean, there was a little bit of staff education, but no one had really taken great charge of it. And,
mm-hmm.
The more I've gotten involved with wine, the more I love to educate people about it. I love to talk about it. And so I'd started with, weekly staff trainings and classes for the staff.
And do they love it?
Yes. No,
I would imagine that would be such a terrific offering.
It's one of the most fun things to learn about in the world.
Right. Tastings,
yeah,
I am assuming.
Yes, you're tasting.
Tell us more, Daniel.
But, the people that have gotten really, really into it and have really put in the most effort with it,
mm-hmm.
I've given them the opportunity to actually start taking it to a little more formal level. And the two programs that I've helped people kind of get through is...
both the Court of Master Sommelier's introductory exam, which is it's the program that I'm closely involved with. I've completed the certified exam.
Congratulations.
And, the introductory exam, it's a two-day course. It really just is a crash course in the world of wine, and you finish it off with like a 60-question examination. And so we've had five of our servers pass that. And then there's also...
Wow, that speaks volumes about you. That's awesome.
Excellent. And we also have the Wine and Spirits Education Trust, WSET,
right.
A lot of people are familiar with, and one of our bartenders has completed the advanced examination.
All right, so. I have a question for you. Let's talk about customer education, because I have an awful time remembering what wines I've had.
He can't remember what he said 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
forget
Nancy,
the wine.
Be quiet. Please, Margaret. But seriously, I mean, do customers come to you and ask if there's some system that can help them remember what the heck it was they had that they liked and didn't like?
I mean, if you have trouble remembering, the best way is just to take notes on it, to be honest. But it's also building relationships with both, you know, your local restaurants and also your local retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, get to know these people, talk to them, tell them what you like, what you don't like.
Are there software programs that help you kind of set up a...
There are some. I haven't used any, to be honest. As far as books go, I think if just...
There's a bunch of phone apps, too, you know, that you can start. Like, you can take a picture of a label,
and
it'll log it for you.
And from what I understand, it can actually even, you know, dig it up on the internet and tell you a little bit more about the wines by taking a picture of the
label. This assumes you know how to take a picture with your phone. I don't.
But, no, yeah, it's. I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, getting a... You know, putting a book on your coffee table or something like that. I really like the Sotheby's Wine Encyclopedia. It's... You know, really well written. It's written by a man named Todd Stevenson, and who does all the wine writing for Sotheby's. And, you know, some great maps and pictures in there as well. But it's very informative, and it's, you know, interesting to read. So it's a fun book to
And do you do private wine classes too?
We haven't done anything yet. We're actually talking about possibly getting guests involved with the
like
staff
classes?
Trainings that I do, and possibly bringing them inside.
That would be fun.
Well, I thought that. What's Wines on Tap? Because I have a note here that you have that program, too.
That's something we're going to be launching this summer.
It's controversial.
This springtime, actually. Yes.
Right.
Yes, it's going to be draft wine.
Cool.
So this is a sort of a...
We're going to bring you back on when you launch it, because I really want to hear more about it.
Oh, I just want a mug of wine.
Nice chilled frosty mug of Sauvignon Blanc.
Are you for it or against it?
For it. I think that's actually... It's a great program. And, you know, as far as the criticisms of it go... It's always comes with a little bit of a side note of saying, well, you know, of course there's people doing it correctly, but we're just worried about people not doing it correctly.
Okay.
And so, you know, what the criticisms mainly are is they're concerned that people aren't going to be cleaning their lines properly, and you're just going to get, you know, kind of
like wine a mix been, of wine.
Know, yeah, wine that's just been sitting in some tube for a little while. But no, we're going to be using a draft box system, so it's, you know, a short line, and basically the idea is it cuts back on waste. You don't have any risk of bottles going bad.
There's no corkage.
There's no packaging
corked, right?
issues.
Can't be corked. Yeah.
Well, we had a woman in Deborah Schneider about 6 months ago with a new patented boxed
bag.
Wine process.
But it was really the bag.
With a tapper on it.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I mean, people are moving to that.
There's actually lots of great quality wine being put into a box now.
What will they think of next? Electric cars, boxed wines, my.
Whoopie pies.
How the world is changing. Whoopie pies to go.
We're going to have to wrap this up.
All right, Daniel, thank you very much. It's Daniel Lobsens. If you get a chance, go to Post Brasserie and, you know, you got questions about port or bubbly or Chateau Neuf de Pop or anything.
Madeira.
He's the man to answer.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so as we do on every show, we'd like to leave you with a little... Quote? Oh, no. We like to do a charity first. Sorry.
How many years have you been doing this?
Not long enough,
well, actually,
apparently.
Well, the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance is our charity.
Yes.
I think that makes sense. Their mission, obviously, is to battle and ultimately defeat ovarian cancer. And they've got many programs and services that include survivors teaching students, you know, people, survivors of cancer, teaching high school kids about ovarian cancer, what to look for and about the cures, and to get them obviously more aware. They've got an annual advocacy day that helps train volunteers and survivors and family friends, and lots of programs like Turn Up the Heat that don't just raise money but raise awareness of you know, the need to fight ovarian cancer and its prevalence in our society. So if you want to know more, visit ovariancancer.org and you'll find out more.
Of course, you can always go to the event and you can volunteer and help.
Speaking of more, if you want to know what's going on in the world of food and wine and related events and everything, just go to the list, areyouonit.com. People,
please.
It's free. No, it's free to subscribe. Nikki's website, you've got like 32,000 subscribers? I don't know.
Plus.
A lot. And that says a lot for what's on there. There are hundreds of events listed. There are all kinds of activities. There are exclusive articles. And by the way, Nikki's the publisher, so
yeah,
go there.
So there you
and
go.
You can also follow Nikki on Twitter, and you can hear her every Sunday at 12:50 on WTOP to find out what's happening that week.
Absolutely. Okay, so now...
Now we got a quote.
On this part of the show, we're going to leave you with a little quote, and David wrote this one all
I didn't
by
write
himself.
This one. You remember we were talking about the Luther sandwich with Tiffany, and I found a Luther Vandross quote. He said, quote, "I'd like to be remembered as a premier singer of songs, not just a popular act of a given period. And now I can say that we'll also remember him, poor Luther, as an awesome sandwich."
So never too Luther. Much, never too much, never too much.
Luther. But it was a little too much for Luther, apparently.
Oh, you're so cruel. All right, I want to thank our guests, Monica Thomas, Tiffany McIsaac, Robbie Meltzer, and Daniel Lobsens for joining us next
And next week, we have a great show. We have a little bit of time. We have the owners of the New Man Do in the City Vista building downtown. And Jordan Harris of Terrera Winery is going to pour wines for us and tell us why Virginia wine is really for
All right.
lovers.
And next Saturday at 11, tune in to TBD Channel 8 on cable to see this show. Bye-bye.
Have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today.